In Your Ears Music presents Shining a Light On. Join us as we shine a light on artists that are under the radar in the music industry. Listen, discover, and share along with us. Here is your host, AD Hansen.
Hello and welcome along to the In Your Ears Music Shining a Light On podcast, where we talk to an upcoming artist and flick a metaphorical light on them. I'm very happy to say that this month we bring you the hottest thing to come out of Derby since Paolo Wanchope's solo effort at Old Trafford back in 97. It's the brilliant Marseille. How are we, gents?
All good, thank you.
How are you?
Well.
Good, good, yeah, good. So why don't you all introduce yourselves one at a time and tell us what piece of the Marseille jigsaw puzzle you are.
I guess I'll go first. I'm Will. I'm the lead singer and songwriter mainly. That's basically all I do. I do a lot of other stuff, to be fair. I'm usually the one who does all the emails and stuff. So I'm the main liaison of the band.
Cool.
I'm Jav. I'm the lead guitarist of the band. And I'll also speak on behalf of Tom, who isn't here. So I'm also Tom for this conversation.
Excellent. Tom Joe.
Yeah.
That works. Tom Joe.
I am Lennon. I'm rhythm guitarist. And I sing a little bit sometimes if I feel like it. That's it.
Cool. Nice to have you on the pod, lads. Right. We want to know a little bit about the history of the band. So how did Marseille become Marseille?
Go on, man.
How did we come to be?
Yeah.
Oh, well, basically, me and Joe have been in bands together like since about 13. And we were just in bands at school together. And during lockdown, we weren't in bands. And we're both like, do you want to start doing something? So we started talking to each other and just like writing and getting ideas together. Once we came out of lockdown, we sort of needed to formulate a band. So when Tom finished uni, he just slotted straight in and joined us because he just moved back from Birmingham and was looking for a band to join. And then we found Lennon at an open mic and the rest is history.
So lockdown's responsible for a lot of things, but there's lots of good stuff that come out of it, and Marseille appear to be one of them.
Indeed.
The bone of Marseille, yeah.
Right then. We like to discover... before I ask that question, why Marseille? Why the name Marseille? Because I was attracted to your logo. Before I'd even heard you, I was like, that's a cool logo.
Oh, it's because of the actual football team. It's obviously such a boring answer because I bet everybody expects it to be some big meaning, like I'm French or something. But no, it's just after the football team. Fun facts about the football team, it's the only French team to ever win the European Champions League.
Well, PSG have been spending a lot of money and trying and they failed. So Marseille is obviously the one.
Yep, definitely.
We like to discover sort of who's influenced our guests musically. We were going to start with Tom, but unfortunately he's at work. So we're going to start with you, Lennon.
Most of my stuff comes out of the 60s, really. You can probably judge that by my name a little bit. So the Beatles, of course, and lots of other 60s bands. There's so many I could name, so I won't go through them all. But you can probably think of some. I'm quite influenced by Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
And that's it, really, for me. It's all very 60s based. That's it, wow. Really.
Let's be honest, mate. There's most rock and roll bands and guitarists have dipped into the 60s in their musical taste. It's not a bad influence at all, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Joe? Tom Joe?
I'll do Tom's first. Tom... as a fantastic drummer he is. He's influenced by all the greats, so he likes John Bonham from Zeppelin, Keith Moon. He's also a fan of Radiohead, and he's a huge fan of Queen. Only joking, he hates Queen. But no, he's big into like the John Bonham, Keith Moon. It's all big drummers, and then like sort of Radiohead. They're the first ones that come to mind. He likes Foles as well, and Jamie T, but I wouldn't say that's like a drumming influence, but for me, I'm into like a bit of everything really, like Lennon. A lot of stuff comes from the 60s as well. So Jimmy Page is my favourite guitarist, and then I like Pete Townsend, but then more recent stuff like the Black Keys. So basically anything that's got great guitar work this interests me really.
Can't argue with any of them names that you've mentioned there. What about you, Will?
I'd say I'm more influenced by songwriting, to be fair. And I always go through phases of different styles of music, especially at the moment. So, like, probably my main influences, if I was going to go off the bat, I'd say The Verve, The Doors, maybe The Stone Roses as well. The Beatles have influenced songwriting. But at the minute, I've actually found myself getting to The Carpenters quite a lot. And quite like Bob Marley after seeing the film. I've listened to a lot of his stuff. But I always grew up on Bob Marley, so it was just a reminder of my childhood.
Cool. I've not seen the film. Was it any good?
I thought it was really good, but a lot of people are saying it's not good, but I enjoyed it.
I think it's all right.
It's all right. I thought it was really good. 9 out of 10.
But I never go by what reviewers say about films anyway, because it's your interpretation of what you just watched, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what someone else thinks of it. It's your opinion that counts.
Yeah. I always look at the audience score anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's it, isn't it? So you've had a pretty great couple of years, lads. Have you got any particular highlights that stand out for you?
Yeah, I'd say there's quite a few highlights for each of us. Obviously, stuff like Isle of Wight has always been big. We got to do that 2 years and in a row and stuff, which was fantastic. Obviously, we've got a highlight, we've got a gig in the summer, which I'm sure is going to be a big highlight. We've managed to get Why Not at the Quarry stage, which is dead good. And then stuff like Rescue Rooms, which is in Nottingham, that's a big highlight. But yeah, they're sort of like the main ones for me anyway.
Yeah, I'd probably say our UK tour's a big one. I think when we did the first one, as we were talking about before, AD, where we did about 10 cities, and they were all packed out venues in places we've never been to before or never even shown our faces in. And sometimes people stopping us in the street because they were coming to the gig later or whatever and say, "Oh, you're right, lads," and we just have no clue who they are. Like, going to Scotland was pretty good, because obviously that's just like a completely new territory for us. We'd never even ventured that far for a gig before. And just to go there and everyone knew who we were, stopping to us and referring to us as like our first names, I was like, that's mad. But I'm half Scottish anyway, so it was quite good to go there and meet some family members and whatever. And a lot of them I hadn't met before. Oh, what's that? Which half? My mum's half.
Ah, cool. Mum's know best anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Right then. So we're going to play your debut single now. And this podcast is going out on the Monday, the 18th of March, which strangely is precisely 2 years to the day that you released it. So we're going to play Forget It All Now. That was a debut to be proud of, that lad. Let's talk about how you create your songs. What's the process?
Usually, I would just write the song at home. Like, usually, I just have the acoustic guitar, mainly get the structure of it and some like melody on the top of it and the vocals. Like, the lyrics just come later when I find something I like after we've jammed it out a few times. But I usually leave all the rest of it quite open. So, because if I just did all other parts, then it would just be whatever I'm inspired by at that time, and then it's just not really that original. Whereas if I let Joe do his lead guitar, and Lennon used to do bass, and Tom do his drums, and it all of a sudden takes my life on its own. It's not exactly what you envisioned, but it's still good and different.
That's pretty cool. It's nice that you've got like everybody involved in it. You know, you come up with the melody or whatever, and then everyone else chucks their piece in to make it that full sound. So it is actually your sound. So nobody's domineering, nobody's taking complete and utter control, which kind of ruins my next question, because I was going to say, who's the boss?
Still me.
I did have a feeling it might be you anyway. How do you two other two lads feel about your boss? Is he a good boss?
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
Everything's all right, isn't it?
No, he's a very good boss.
Ah, cool. Well,
he's been checking stuff.
Well, judging by the music you've already released in your tender years of just 2 years of releasing music, I think you got yourself a decent boss there anyway.
I suppose so.
Yeah, you don't want to make his head too big, do you?
No, I'm not trying to keep him grounded.
Ah, good lad. That's the way it should be. Right, so also what we like to do on this podcast is get our guests, to pick an up-and-coming artist that they currently dig. So we're going to start with you, Will, and then we were going to have Joe afterwards. So, Will, what would you pick and what would you want to play?
By an up-and-coming artist? I know the band that I picked. It was Deary.
Yeah.
It's just remembering which one, because they've got so many good songs.
That's it, Heaven, yeah. I was going to say, where are you going to end up? But then you might have said how. So Heaven, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Joe had a pick as well. Does anyone else know what Joe picked, or do you want me to introduce that one?
I believe it was Laurie Wright and West End Lover, I believe was the song I picked.
Certainly was, mate. Certainly was. And that's a cracking song. Have you ever seen Laurie Wright live? Have you supported him?
We did a little festival thing in Jersey, and he was on the bill as well. And yeah, so I've seen them twice actually. So it was at the Jersey gig, and then we did something. Oh god, it was a couple of years ago now. A venue called The Network in Sheffield, and saw him there. He's fantastic. I think he's absolutely brilliant. He really stands out to me.
Yeah, he is. He's quality.
Me and Lennon saw him at as well.
Nice. Yeah, he's doing big things. He's started out some big venues, and he's doing it all on his own. So that's fantastic. So it's an example for a lot of people out there.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Anyway, we should probably play the song, shouldn't we? So we're going to play Heaven by Deary and then West End Lover by Laurie Wright.
We'll be right back. said there's no con.
In your ears, music. Showcasing under the radar music.
Loving both those choices, lads. We will get your picks later, Lennon and Tom. Let's talk about Marseille Live. Where can folks see you this year?
Well, we're doing a few bits now, especially now with on side with this feeling who have been brilliant for us so far. And then we've got a few of our own gigs, actually. We've got two headlines. So we're playing in London at the Macbeth. That's going to be a good gig because last time we played London, it was a sellout at Water Rats. And that was mint. That was obviously awesome because it's quite a big venue as well, Water Rats. So we were surprised we managed to set, like manage that. And then we're also playing Leeds at the Lending Room, and we're looking forward to both them gigs because it's first headlines since November, I think it was. So yeah, it's going to be really, really good.
Cool. I'm going to have to try and get and see you myself actually because I missed your gig at Water Rats. Unfortunately, I couldn't get there. Water Rats is an incredible venue. Some of the names that have played there. Unreal. So that must have felt amazing selling it out.
Yeah, especially first time, like, was it our first headline in London? I think it was.
Yeah.
Like, first headline in London. Many bands that can say they sold out Water Rats, the first headline. Which, not to blow our own horn.
You mentioned earlier, obviously, you've got a festival slot. Have you got any other festival slots? Are you lining up any festivals? Do you want to get on the festival?
Yeah, we've been shortlisted for Tramlines. Like, obviously, if you want to vote for us. I didn't know it was a voting system, to be fair, because I've seen a lot of people moan about it, but needs must. We'll vote. Can everyone please vote for us, please?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky one, that, with the voting, because you click on the votes and then you have to sign up to the email of the festival as well. So
yeah,
there's a lot of people who are a little bit dubious about it, but obviously I think just getting narrowed down from the number of bands that get, you know, to just get on the shortlist for the vote is an achievement in itself. And if you get past the vote and you get to play it, then amazing. But you should be pretty proud of yourself just to get to that point. Because,
yeah, thanks. I saw something quite funny earlier, like today, because obviously there's been about 100 bands that have been shortlisted for Tramlines. And someone said, it's hardly a short list, is it? it made me laugh. But yeah, it's an honour to be shortlisted regardless. Yeah.
What are your bucket list gig venues? Where would you like to play the most? Anywhere in the world? What venue would you like to be at?
I'm going to keep mine then, because off the top of my head, a little closer to home. It's in Nottingham and it's Rock City, purely for the fact of seeing several great bands there who I love. And it's just a legendary venue. So many huge names have played it, and it'd be just an honour to share that stage, you know, because it's just absolutely fantastic. I'd always recommend going there for a gig, even if it wasn't your most local venue, really.
Nice.
I think I would probably say, like, because I would have said Rock City otherwise, because me and Joe have been to loads of gigs that have like been life changing for us. But I reckon Barrowlands in Glasgow would be cool.
Very nice.
That one.
Yeah, one of the Red Eye Pariah lads who we had on the last pod said Barrowlands, and I'm actually going there for my Barrowlands debut. I'm not playing. I'm just going to watch a band there in September, and I can't wait. So yeah, man, that's a cool venue. What about you, Lennon?
Bit on a larger scale, wouldn't it? It'd be nice to play Hyde Park.
No, I got aim big, son. Got aim big.
That'd be very cool. Yeah.
You ever been to a gig at Hyde Park?
No.
I'm looking to get the Stevie Nicks tickets for Hyde Park. I think that looks like a really interesting gig.
I was about to say that.
That would be amazing. You might have to extend your credit card limit to get them.
Oh, I'll find a way. That sounds really dodgy, but no, I'll find a way.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I was expecting somebody to say Pyramid Stage Glastonbury, and nobody's ever said it on the pod yet, so we'll keep that going.
It's the only time on a podcast I've actually not said the Pyramid Stage as well.
Well, good. We want to keep that tradition up. Anyway, well, I think we should play another couple of songs now. So what are you going to pick, Lennon?
I'm dropping an F-bomb, yeah. I chose Drunk as Fuck by Yamalama. My reasoning behind this is they supported us when we played Aberdeen, I believe.
Yeah.
They didn't have a drummer, so I actually ended up playing the drums for them. And I think from playing with them, it made me appreciate their music more because, well, they are good, which is why I chose it. But I think playing with them made me hear it more. And then when they released it, I started listening to it, and I was like, this is actually an amazing song. So, yeah, that's my choice.
That is pretty bloody cool, though, isn't it? So their drummer in there, so why don't you come up, Lennon?
Yeah, cool.
Just bring your sticks, jump on stage, son.
Yeah, it was good. It was an experience.
Cool, man. Cool. So, Tom, what about you? What would you like to play?
To speak on behalf of Tom, I honestly cannot remember what song you said.
He picked something by Chapel Choir Wrestling. If that narrows it down, Joe.
Oh, God. Oh, what's the name of the song you picked? I ain't got a clue. Tom should be here for this. I blame him for being
at work. He's working.
I blame him for being at work.
I think it's one of the top songs.
It is one of their top songs. But if you don't know their music, then there's no point in me giving you any clues because we could be here all night, can't we?
What's that?
Yeah. It's called Wayfinding.
Ah, right.
That's the one.
Yeah, and it's a cool track. Cool. We're going to play those two now. Yamarama, Drunk as Fuck, and Chapakwa Wrestling Wayfinding.
I was hanging around outside your apartment. I looked through the window, knocked on the door. Tried to call you up on your cell phone, but you never answer on me. They said you can't just hang around out here all night. So why don't you fuckers just lock me up? Because everyone knows that I'm drunk as fuck. I was drunk as fuck. I was drunk as fuck. Now I'm tired as hell, but I'm still drinking. I've got no one to talk to, so I'm just thinking. Got kicked out of the bar 'cause I got no money. No, I just wanna say I love you to somebody. I was drunk as fuck. I was drunk as fuck.
In Your Ears Music. Showcasing Under the Radar Music.
My cap is most definitely doffed to all of you. Some incredible choices you've made there. It's not easy picking just one song because there are so many great bands out there. So well done for those picks. My favourite question on this pod is which member of the band is not the full ticket? And I'm guessing I know who it is, but who isn't the full ticket in Marseille?
I would quite like to hear the guess.
Well, I would have said Lennon because he sounds like, but he's also a drummer. That might be stereotypical of drummers. So basically, not the full ticket. Got a few marbles loose, a little bit crazy, maybe.
Yeah, probably Lennon.
Yeah, it's probably Lennon now. I would have said Felix when he was in the band, but it's Lennon's now had the torch passed on to him.
Yeah, probably him. Yeah,
I'm quite proud of myself. What do you think about that, Lennon?
I feel inclined to agree. I feel like, yeah, probably.
That's fair enough. Right, then. So, how's 2024 looking music-wise for you? What's going to get fans of Marseille rubbing their hands together with excitement later this year?
Well, music-wise, I'd say it's very exciting. There's a lot of things in the bag. Obviously, we just put out the first single of the year, which is a pretty big one for us. So I think that alone should keep people very excited, and I'm sort of on edge in the best possible way because musically, I think I'll say it's going to be the strongest stuff we've ever put out.
Cool. Everybody cool. says that. Though.
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah. I said everybody says that, though. It is definitely very strong. Like, the first single has had a huge reception, and what excites me is that I wouldn't even say that's the strongest one on the EP. There's definitely more to come, and there's definitely loads to be excited about.
Have you got a date for the EP?
We're aiming for September, early September, but I don't want to, I'm holding my cards very close to my chest because we've had delays before, and then I look like a numpty.
No, that's fair enough, mate. You just set a sort of a rough target, no point setting a date straight away because then you'll put pressure on yourself to get it finished then, and it might not be what you actually wanted it to be. So that's the best way of looking at it.
Yeah, definitely.
What about merch and stuff like that? How do people get their hands on any Marseille merch? Is there any Marseille merch? Because I'd like a T-shirt.
I think a lot of it's sold out. We've not got very much left. I think it's all gone. I think the only shirts we've got left are probably like XXL. there might be one of them. But I think we're thinking of framing that or something. But we're going to get some more. When we go on tour at some point again, we'll definitely have some more merch for us to sell and people to get themselves T-shirts or whatever, or vinyl or posters, whatever they want.
Well, I've got a CD, I've got a badge, which is on my bucket out of badges, and I think I've got a sticker on my record player. So all that's left is a T-shirt. So yeah, you'll have to release some more. And are you going to release any the EP on any physical releases, or is that sort of something you've really thought about yet?
This new one, yeah, we are aiming for that. Yeah, I've spoke to the label and said let's start thinking about this because I want to sort of have it ready in preparation so it can just be dropped as soon as we have the EP. So I want to have like the vinyl now, so they just sit in my garage for about 6 months and then I just give them to everybody.
No, I wouldn't mind a vinyl myself, to be honest with you. I'm a bit of an addict. So, yeah, get that released on that. Just another question. It's not musical related. Are you all Derby fans?
I definitely am. I'm a huge Derby fan.
I think we all are, but Will's like the one who follows football the most.
Yeah, if I had to choose, I'd say Derby, but I'm not really very interested in football, to be honest.
Fair dues, man. I know, Will, we were going to try and do the meeting the other night, but he couldn't because he was going to football.
yeah, I've got a season ticket and I go to most away games as well when I can, because usually gigs get in the way. But yeah, it's getting to the business end of the season and it's looking good, so I've got my fingers crossed, I've got everything crossed.
Yeah, it's looking better for you than it is. So I'm an Oxford fan, so we were started off alright, but we've gone completely downhill since then. And I'm the same when it comes to season ticket. I haven't got a season ticket, I haven't had one for a couple of years because I've found myself not going to enough games because I'm at gigs on a Saturday. So
Yeah, I'm the same. the touring system works a little bit more. When we first started and we were just playing every week, wherever we could get a gig, I think I only did about 10 games. It wasn't really worth it. Whereas now we're doing tours, we've got a set month for Hermes games.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So is that why you plan tours, is it? Just so you can go to football?
Mainly, yeah. I was thinking of once lining them up the tour, so like just line it up with away days or something to get a few away days in.
Yeah, fair dues, mate. That sounds like a good idea. You'll have to go, like, when you go up next year, I don't know. Say Southampton away on a Saturday, be all right, isn't
it? Yeah, that'd be good. Sunderland would be good.
Yeah, Sunderland's good. Newcastle's just down the road as well. Anyway, we're going off on a tangent here. All right, so we've got one more question for you, and it's one I ask everybody on the pod, and it's just kind of closing it out. Where do you see Marseille being in 5 years' time?
Good question. In the next 5 years, a lot can happen. We've not been going for 5 years and we've come quite far. So I'd say in another 5 years, it's going to sound arrogant, but I do see ourselves being one of the biggest bands in the country. But you've got to have belief, haven't you? Otherwise, what's the point of doing it? But that's my honest answer.
Good on you, mate. That's a great answer. And I like that confidence and that little bit of swagger there. We like it. So huge thanks to you for coming on, lads. Thanks for giving me your time. Best of luck with the rest of the year. Thank you for letting us shine a light on you. We're going to close the pod with your brand new single, which you talked about earlier. It's extremely epic. Who wants to introduce it?
This song's called Monkey in the Middle. It's one of our oldest songs, and it's finally here for you. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and see you soon.
Nice one. Cheers, lads. Take it easy.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, AD.
Enjoy your gig tonight.
Cheers, man.